Well, welcome back to the table, ladies. And in this segment, what we're going to do is our Bible study. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to 1 Peter today, and we're going to be starting in verse 3. And our Bible study teacher, Connie Stample, is here. Connie, welcome back to the table.
Thanks, Amy. It's good to be here.
It is great to have you back. What are we going to be talking about today?
Well, we are going to get into the body of the letter of 1 Peter, and we're going to find out just some more of the riches that we have in God's grace and how God's power actually preserves us.
Oh, I'm excited for this one. Well, why don't we start with the actual scriptures that we're going to be looking at? This is verses 3 through 5 in 1 Peter chapter 1. And there's a subtitle to this one in my version that says, "Praise to God for a living hope." And it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Wow.
Yeah, Peter just gave us a lot to think about.
Yes,
and
did.
So we are going to kind of break it down and look at it in parts, and hopefully it'll come to it. You'll have a deeper understanding of what he is communicating to us, and just really that wonderful grace of God the Father to choose us and to have the Holy Spirit reveal salvation to us and have us turn to Jesus Christ, trust in him, obey him, and then live lives that please him. And my version, which is the ESV, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And if we take that already, we're finding that God and Father is connected to Jesus Christ. And when we talk about Jesus in that way, and Peter's writing, and he says God, he's really talking about Jesus' humanity, because as a man, when he walked on the earth, Jesus was fully obedient to God. And then it also says the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Father, it speaks to that relationship of Jesus with God the Father from eternity past. And we know from the Gospels that several times the Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son," or "This is my one and only Son." And so it speaks to that special relationship of Jesus Christ. And he is God, but as a man, he submitted as a human to God. And then it says, "Our Lord Jesus Christ." And here Peter's already telling us, all right, Jesus is Lord. That means he rules and he reigns. And as believers, we need to acknowledge that, that he is Lord. And then it also says his given name, which is Jesus, which in Hebrew is Yeshua. And that means Yahweh saves.
Yes.
So the Lord that's all in caps throughout the Old Testament, the I Am of Exodus 3, he is the one who saves. And so we already know Jesus rules, and he's our Savior. And then finally, it says Christ. And Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. And that means the anointed one that the Old Testament prophets kept giving them the revelation that someone is coming in the line of David who is going to be a Savior of the people and also a suffering servant. But it shows that this Jesus Christ is the one that Scripture has been foretelling. And a couple days from now, we're going to be talking a little bit more about what the Bible and the Old Testament prophets were telling us.
Okay.
All right, so already Peter's given us a lot to think about.
Yes.
but then we're kind of getting to the main point of these verses, and it says, "According to his great mercy, he, God the Father, has caused us to be born again to a living hope."
Yeah.
And Peter keeps coming back to the term born again, and so that's a big deal to him. He's understood what that means. Of course, it's according to God's mercy, and the result is none of us deserve to be born again. It's God chose us, and in his grace, he has granted us to come to know his Son, but we don't deserve it. We didn't earn it, and we need to continually remember that. And then when we talk about born again to a living hope, it makes us remember John's Gospel chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to see Jesus.
Yes.
Peter was there. He heard what Jesus said. And so we are going to go to John's Gospel for a little bit, and we're going to look at what it was Jesus told Nicodemus. So we're going to turn to John chapter 3, and Amy, if you'd be willing to read, we're going to have you read verses 3 through 8.
Sure. All right. It says, "Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.
All right, and so Peter's reminding us again that we enter into this relationship with God, our sins are forgiven because we've been regenerated. The Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts, has caused us to understand who God is, what Jesus Christ has done for us. We've turned from our sins. We've trusted in God. We are new creations. And that is reason to celebrate.
Yes.
Because then Peter tells us that we're born again to a living hope. And really, as Peter uses the word living in association with hope, yes, it's a hope that's alive, and it's a hope in a risen Savior who's alive, but it's also really meaning it's a sure, it's a certain, it's a real, it's a true hope. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, Amy, we talk about things, I hope this happens,
sure,
and there's uncertainty because we don't know mm-hmm. for sure. With God, when we have hope, and we have hope in what Jesus Christ has done, we have hope in his resurrection, we have hope in God's word, that's a sure thing.
Yeah.
It's a confident expectation. We know it'll happen. And I've heard somebody explain hope as future faith, meaning we have faith now in who God is and what his word says, that hope really is the faith that's going to be realized in the future, in the sense that the things we don't have right now, but God has promised, they will happen.
And that is such a beautiful thing, Connie. And I think that you put it so beautifully, that hope that we, you know, in our everyday usage, I think we might need to rethink how we use that word hope. Doesn't mean what we think it means sometimes, and especially in spiritual matters. But I have a feeling, though, that a lot of folks are looking at the story of Nicodemus, the famous Nick at Night chapter that we talk about, and they don't understand born again. And that's a tough one to understand. Even Nicodemus didn't understand what it meant.
Exactly. And it's truly all of God, because we can't cause ourselves to be born again. There's another scripture reference in our study guide for Ephesians 2, verses 2 to 10. And it talks about us being dead and lost in our sins.
Yes.
As dead people, we can't revive ourselves. We can't resuscitate ourselves. We are dead. And it's only the power of the Holy Spirit that actually brings us to life, that eternal life, that new life in Jesus Christ.
Ladies, I do encourage you to get the study guide. It's on our website today at naomistable.com under the Bible Studies tab. You can just download it there and find out what it says in Ephesians 2. Very important stuff.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, we're going to go on, because then it says we're born again to that living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so a living Savior is our living hope. And we know Jesus Christ is our hope, because Hebrews and other places in Scripture talks about he's that hope, that anchor we hold on to. But if he hadn't risen from the dead, we actually wouldn't have any hope.
Right.
And so that's a key thing. If we're going to share the gospel with someone, we need to remember Jesus died, he rose again. And that's kind of the seal, it's the demonstration that God was satisfied with his sacrifice for our sins.
Yes, and it says in Corinthians 2 that also that many, 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 many witnesses saw this. And so we have eyewitness accounts, and we know it's true.
Exactly. And Peter himself was there.
Yes.
So he's telling us. All right, going on, we're now in verse 4 of 1 Peter 1. And Peter writes, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. All right, so we have this living hope, which is tied to an inheritance. It's kind of like one coming. And we're going to find out it's really an inheritance in heaven and what happens when Jesus comes again. But look at these words, imperishable. That means something that will never die or be destroyed. Undefiled, that means it's pure. It's going to be just, it's not, it can't be changed.
Yeah.
And then unfading, meaning it's time-proof. Nothing can make it diminish or, you know. Well, one thing we can think of is how a flower fades, and you pick it, and if you don't put it in water, it's going to droop and be gone very shortly. Well, in the sense, that's the idea of what could be going on. But our inheritance is guaranteed. It's a for sure thing. We know that inheritance in Scripture in the Old Testament for the children of Israel meant their allotment of land in the promised land, but for us, it's a place in heaven, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So now we've got that living hope in inheritance, something that God guarantees is going to happen. It's going to be preserved by God. And it says, kept in heaven for you. And so that's kept by God the Father. It's safe there. Mm-hmm. All right. Who, by God's power, and that means us. So those who are believers in Jesus Christ, who by God's power are being guarded through faith. Right now, God the Father is shielding and guarding us. And it's actually, if you think about it, it's from the inside because we have the Holy Spirit in us. And actually, that Greek word there that's used for guarded or shielded really referred to the garrison within a city that protected the city.
Mm. I think of the verse that talks about how no one can snatch us out of his hands. He's guarding us with his very hands, isn't he?
Exactly. That's God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's in John chapter 10. And yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful verse to hold on to. Because guarded through that faith for a salvation. And so the salvation that God started, he will come. He will bring it to the end. And it says, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so that's a reference to when Jesus Christ returns. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we've been saved. We've been given all the promises of God. We have the presence of Jesus Christ. We have the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. But we don't completely, fully have the salvation that will be in the future when we're in God's presence and we're away from sin.
Mm. Ladies, I hope that this has blessed you. This lesson will be found on our Bible Studies tab. Again, this is lesson number 4. We're titling this one, Living Hope. It's so appropriate, and we hope you go and download those notes. Connie, thank you so much for this Bible study today.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute. Nancy and I will talk a little bit more about this living hope that we have. Hope you can stick around. We'll be right back.